Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Heartworking Dad podcast. I'm your host, Gabriel Perez. Just a quick introduction, as this episode, I had the honor of talking with Nick Adams, who wrote the book Being the Dad You Wish You Had, Five Big Stones for Effective Fatherhood. And I think as first-generation Christian dads, this is definitely a book worth reading. His story is so deep, it's so moving, and just what he's created out of what he's gone through and what he's put together in this book, I think it will be very helpful for any dad, but especially for those dads who are first-generation Christian dads and just looking to pave the way. He has just a great message that no matter what, as a dad, you matter. So I just want to give this quick introduction, and I'm going to just play the conversation we have. Thanks for being here. Appreciate you guys. See you on the next episode.
All right. Well, Nick, welcome to the podcast. Thank you for being here.
It's awesome to be with you. I'm excited about our conversation today.
Yeah, it's really great talking to you. I mean, even we were just talking a little bit before this, but really excited to talk about your book and your story. The book you wrote is Being the Dad You Wish You Had.
Yeah.
And how long ago did you write that book?
The book came out this fall, and it had its official launch the first of the year. So it's just been a few months.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Yeah.
And what a title, man. I mean, I think that speaks, right? Being the dad you wish you had.
Yeah. I mean, I hope so, because, you know, really it doesn't matter if your dad was fantastic. There were probably some things you wish were different and that he had done differently. And if he was, you know, really had some glaring problems, then of course you wish you had, you know, you have some things you wish you had in a father. And so I think you should be able to kind of resonate with just about anybody.
That's true. Yeah. That's a good point. Cause, even perfect dads are, there's going to be something that you're needing. And I know with my son, I'm always feeling that way too. Like, it doesn't matter how much I try to be there for every moment, there are some areas that I'm not going to be there the way he wanted me to be there, the way he was hoping I'd show up for him.
Absolutely. And what you are trying to, the messages you're trying to send, they're not always the messages they're receiving. You know, like
I recently
had a conversation with one of my adult kids, and they told me what I said to them. And I'm like, I mean, it broke my heart. I'm like, that was not at all what I was trying to communicate, you know, but they had remembered this for like 4 years, and it was just so skewed from what I really intended to say, you know, and it's like, wow, that's just terrifying. As a father, you have so much influence and so much power to impact. And sometimes you don't realize how your kids are interpreting your actions or your words. And it's pretty scary.
Yeah, it is actually. It kind of paralyzes you.
It could be paralyzing. I try not to be paralyzed.
Well, because I think of like these times I've had these conversations with my son, like we're running and he's like struggling and I'm trying to encourage him. But then I'm thinking he's probably looking back and just like, my dad's just making me do this. His words don't mean nothing right now. I don't want to do this. And it's like not helping him and it's not encouraging. It probably has the exact opposite effect.
Yeah.
And yeah, so that's a good thing to think about, I guess. And
those moments happen. Now, how old is your son?
12.
Okay, awesome. Yeah. My son is 13, and he and I are running together as well. We're going to do a half marathon next month.
Oh, nice. Congratulations. That's awesome. I did a marathon last year, and it was, I just sign up for things and don't really think things through. So I hadn't really trained. The longest I was running was like 3 miles, three times a week.
I heard you tell that story on one of your podcasts, and I was like, oh my word, because I've run marathons too. And I was just like, oh wow, like that didn't turn out well.
Yeah. It was the most painful moment of my life. I was like, I can't do this, but that's awesome. Yeah. I'd love to take my son to get him up into a half marathon. That's cool. You guys are going to do that together.
Yeah. My two older daughters and my oldest son and I are all doing it together.
Oh, nice. So family.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about your family. Cause I know you said you also have an older son too, right?
Well, I've got two older children. They're both girls. One of them is 24, the other was 22. And then I have two boys. One of them is 13 and the other one is 12.
Okay.
And my youngest son is adopted. And so we have an adopted child and that element in our family as well.
That's awesome. I remember reading about that in the book. Yeah. He was from India, right?
That's correct. Yep.
And just the adjustments and those moments, like he, you know, when he was adjusting to life with you guys.
Yeah.
And that was really eye opening because that's something that is was put on our wife's heart, but the Lord hasn't opened up that opportunity for us yet, for me and my wife.
Right.
But it was just, it was really eye opening, the struggles just to transition.
Yeah. It has been a hard transition for him.
Yeah.
But I tell him all the time, he's the bravest person I know.
Because
if you're at three, he went to the other side of the world with two people he had only seen for 2 weeks and to not speak his language, and just how terrifying that had to have been. And braved on through it and, you know, has made it. So.
Yeah, I was literally kind of scared when you were telling that in the book, and me thinking from that perspective, like, that is terrifying. Like, leaving everything you know with kind of two strangers, you know, in a sense, you've known for what was it, 2 or 3 weeks that you had to be there before?
Yeah.
And coming over, oh my gosh. Like, yeah, he is definitely very brave.
Yeah.
And then you're married. How long have you been married?
26 and a half years.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Wow, that's great. And what do you do?
I do a wide variety of things. I own a couple of small businesses. And I own some real estate, and I founded and run a youth camp, a Christian youth camp.
Yeah.
And then I write books, and I do a variety of things.
You've done everything.
a little bit of everything. I passed for a while.
Uh-huh.
I've done a lot of different things in life.
That's awesome. A lot of experiences then.
Yeah.
So I was wondering if you could share just a little bit how you came up with this book. I know you share about it, but
we do this occasionally. We'll do this conversation starters at the dinner table. And so one night at the dinner table, we're doing a conversation starter, and my oldest son is reading the question. And the question was, if you could change one thing in the world, what would it be? And, you know, sometimes with the conversation started, you're like, you know, I don't know. And you just kind of ramble around trying to come up with the answer or a reasonable answer. But this particular night, I mean, it just hit me like lightning. If I could change one thing in the world, I would create effective fathers. Because if I could create effective fathers, I'd change the world.
Yeah.
That will change everything about our world. And so that was kind of the genesis of the book. It's just realizing that that's something that was really important to me and something that, you know, I really had a passion about. And so from really that night, I started thinking about writing this book.
Wow. So from that night to the book being finished, how long was that?
It was 2 years.
2 years, huh?
Yeah, it was a journey.
Yeah, I could only imagine. I mean, writing a book takes some time.
Doing all of the rest of life as well. That made it even more interesting. Like, stop life. I probably could have done it a little quicker if I could have stopped everything and just written the book.
Yeah. I was wondering if you would kind of dive into a little bit of your story. I know in the book you do, but your history with your dad. Because you are that first generation Christian dad, right?
I am. Yeah. I said to you earlier, you know, I just love the fact that that's who you're targeting. You know, obviously lots of different people, I'm sure, listen to your podcast, but that you're really trying to dig into folks who have not had a Christian father, who haven't had that experience and the kinds of things they need to know. But that was definitely my experience. My mother went to church and I went to church with her, but my father was not church at all. And sort of, you know, one of the things I hope to do in the book has helped people understand how much power they have as a father, whether they're a really great dad or just struggling to do the best they can, or maybe not even trying very hard. It doesn't matter where you are on the continuum, you have enormous power in the life of your children. And so to kind of exemplify that, if you give an example of that at the beginning of the book, I tell my story. And my story is that when I was about 11 or 12 years old, my father came to the church where we had, my mom and I had gone to church. And after church, we went out to eat with some folks from the church. And so we were later getting home. My dad decided that my mom was having an affair and he was drinking. And so in a very inebriated state, he drives, 20 minutes to the church. And when we get back to the church parking lot, he's there very drunk and he has a gun and he's going to kill my mom and I. And some folks from the church put mom and I in the back of a car. I laid on the floorboard of the car and she got in the back seat and laid down. And they, while other people were distracting him, they kind of got us out of the area. Flying down back Tennessee roads, very curvy, very hilly. Ended up about 40 minutes away and just hid in a hotel for several days. And the fear that caused in me. I can still remember going and checking the windows in the bathroom to see if Dad could get in if he found us. And, just a whole lot of anxiety and fear that released in me. And then after, probably several months, we had decided we weren't staying in the hotel anymore. We were now staying with some family friends or some friends from the church. And so it was time for me to kind of Dad wanted to see me. So I went by myself to meet my father. And that was a pretty terrifying thing because I didn't really know what would happen. I didn't know if he would harm me or if he would try to use me to find out where mom and I were staying. I mean, pretty frightening.
How old were you?
I was about 12. I was 11 or 12. Wow. It would have been right at the point where I would have been switched. I was right in that time frame. It was the month before my birthday or right at my birthday. So right at 12 years old.
It's such an impactful time too, because you're discovering yourself, right? Your identity is kind of in the mix between boyhood and manhood, and then this happens, right? How was that for you growing up?
Well, that sent me on a pretty dark path, because that was the end of my mom and dad's marriage. Of course, you might guess that. One of the things that happened for me is that from that time until I was in my 40s and my dad was diagnosed with lung cancer and, just a destroyed heart and there was nothing they could do for him and he had a few months to live. From the time I was 12 until I was 44, Dad and I never stayed under the same roof again. Like I never stayed all night with him. There was never a time we were together, but he came and lived with me the last few months of his life. It really sent me on quite a journey to find some closure for myself, to try to figure out, talking about first generation dads, how do I raise kids? Because one of the most terrifying things in my life was our first child.
Yeah.
I just had no idea how to be dad, zero. And, I'd always hear people say, oh, well, my dad always said, or like my father always told me. And I'm like, my dad never told me anything. I tell in the book, there's one time my dad ever sat me down and gave me instructions about life. And so one of the things I want to bring out in the book is just that although that was the background I had and the experience I had, what I find now is that my father impacted my life. And for not just for bad, like there are really good things in my life that are a direct result of who my dad was. And the fact that, you know, in some ways he was a true train wreck, there were still really positive things in his life. And although I didn't live with him, although I only saw him, you know, maybe once a week, maybe, you know, as I got older, it was every other week. And then, you know, as I started driving, it was less than that. And, you know, even though I didn't have a really close relationship with my father, I look back and see his imprint in my life, some really good things. And so that's part of what I want dads to hear and to see is, you know, you may not be doing it all right, but that doesn't mean you aren't doing something. And
yeah.
It doesn't, you don't have to lose hope. Like we were saying earlier, you know, you could get pretty overwhelmed with, I could really be destroying these kids, you know, but even in the middle of that, just to say to fathers, that's what I hope part of the message of the book is that you have a whole lot of ability to leave a positive legacy, even if you're screwing some stuff up.
It doesn't disqualify you.
It doesn't end the journey.
Yeah. You know, that's so powerful. Sorry. It reminds me, I remember I was part of this men's group for a while. It was just like a men's growth group, like trying to be better men. And one of the challenges they had 1 month was about fathers. And it was to write your father a letter. And it was pretty much saying that you know, a lot of guys took it like you just write this letter of all the ways he hurt you. I think that was how the book that we were reading kind of did it. And all the ways that he hurt you and this and that. And you know, just kind of clearing the air, I guess. And I remember starting to write this letter and I felt so convicted. Like, I was like, man, like, cause you know, I guess I started feeling compassion for my dad because my dad didn't grow up in a Christian home. My dad didn't have a father and, you know, he was doing the best he could with what he knew. And here I am kind of in the same boat of like, yeah, I'm trying to do the best I can. And I feel like a train wreck too. Right. And so I remember telling him like, you know, I went to write that letter and I didn't because I just had kind of an overwhelming compassion for my dad and what he'd gone through and how we are pretty similar in our journeys. It looks different, but it's still the same.
Yeah.
And he said this, and it just reminded me of what you've done in writing this book and what you were just saying. But he goes, boys will, you know, when you're a kid, you know, they're takers. And, you know, it's okay. Cause that's where they are. They're just, they need to take from us. And he goes, but a man finds a way to create and give back. And it just really, it kind of just impacted me on that idea that, you know, we take the hurt and we don't just like take, like, I need this forgiveness. I need this from you. I need this. But we actually use this kind of pain to create something better, to create a new path. And I think that's kind of what I just kind of popped in my head when you were saying that is you're not shaming your dad. You're not trying to hurl stones at him, but you're finding the compassion and you're actually using this to create a better message to speak to dads who feel like, hey, I'm a train wreck. Like,
right. Or,
I need help and I didn't have this. And so I think it's truly just amazing message and testimony.
That's awesome. And, you know, I think all of us as humans, but I think especially men, we tend to be really hard on ourselves.
Mm.
And again, that's a part of what I'm hoping people hear is be kind to yourself.
You know, yeah.
It's a journey. And be kind to your father. Be kind to the people who came before you. Because exactly what you just said, my dad's dad was a train wreck. You know?
Yeah.
And his life was truly a disaster. Like, I didn't know until I was way on into my 30s, you know, nearing 40, some of the really horrific things that happened to my father. It's like, that makes so much more sense. You know, hearing his story and understanding his brokenness, it's like, oh, wow, I see how we got to where we are. And now, you know, in his situation, he needed to do some forgiving. Mm-hmm. And so it helped me to be able to go, okay, I need to do some forgiving. You know, like I need to make sure I'm forgiving my father. I need to make sure that I'm clear in the way so that I don't do the same sort of things in unintentionally mm-hmm. to my kids.
Yeah. Can I ask you, what was it like? Well, I have two questions, I guess. One is, how do you feel God fathered you in these moments of growing up? You know, because it's like they say, our image of God is kind of based on our father, right? I've heard that a few times. Like, we kind of relay some characteristics of our earthly father to our heavenly father. And so as you were, raising your family, finding your faith, how did, God father you in these moments? You know, how did you get?
Man, I love that question. Because I think one of the best revelations for me, I have a master's in theology.
Okay.
So I've studied, mm-hmm. God.
Yeah.
But one of the best manifestations for me of an understanding of who God is in the time that I felt so fathered by mm-hmm. God was when I started having children. And when my first child was born, I will never forget it, because what I find is that in every relationship except with my children, I've chosen to love people.
Mm-hmm.
Like with my wife, I chose to love her. It was optional. Like mm-hmm. at any point along the way, I could have made a different choice. But the first time I saw my child, the first time I saw my daughter, my firstborn, everything in me went out to her.
Mm-hmm.
Everything in me loved her, adored her. I never had a choice. And that speaks to me of who God is. That when he sees me, he adores me. You know, and so just understanding really what you're saying, okay, fatherhood, I'm a picture, or an earthly example of what God is like.
Mm-hmm.
And that spoke to me. Like, that means God's crazy about me. That means God is so emphatic that I get good, that I have good in my life, that I'm cared for. It's really pretty amazing. And so for me, the big revelation of the fatherhood of God came as I became a father.
Yeah.
And I could just relate to, this is how I feel about my kids. This is how God feels about me, except he's perfect in it. I'm broken and I mess it up a lot. And yet the way I love them and how much I want good for them, that's how God feels about me. And so there's a scripture that I've been reading over and over, and it just says that God rejoices over us with dancing. That when he sees us, he gets so excited that he jumps around. And I was like, what a picture of God. That's just awesome. But that's kind of been the big revelation for me about God as my father. But man, I've got story. I could take two or three or four of your podcasts of just telling stories of where God just, he fathered me. And one of my favorite passages is I'm a father to the fatherless.
Mm.
And I always kind of held God to that. Like you said, you'd be my dad. And I need a dad right now, And so that was cool stuff. Yeah, I could just keep telling stories, but I won't.
I love that scripture. And I think I've even said those words to that. God, you said you'd be my father when I'm feeling fatherless, or, to the fatherless. And right now I need a father.
Right.
And it is a beautiful thing. And then, the heart changes, because I think it even just brings new light to Jesus and the sacrifice on the cross that he gave his son. Because I look at my son, I'm like, oh no, that's hard.
That's serious stuff right there.
Yeah. And so, just the heart of a father. Yeah. When you become a father, it does radically change you and open up your eyes to his love. I always tell some friends that they don't have kids yet, but they have a dog and they treat it like a kid. It's like, When you find that when you have kids, it's that whole dog mentality changes completely.
Yeah, that, that dog suddenly might not even be able to stay in the house. I mean,
yeah, like, it's gone. One thing I was going to ask too was, what did you find was your biggest struggle in paving the way for your family as a first generation Christian dad?
Probably it really is what I've already said. It's just that sense of I was really concerned that I didn't know what my kids needed. I didn't know what I didn't know. You know, yeah. I just felt so clueless in walking down the path of being a father. I think, you know, that for me was probably the area that I worked the most. And so I did a lot of reading. I did, you know, classes. I read, you know, I started my fatherhood journey before people were doing podcasts. I would have been listening to your podcast. You know, I mean, I'd have found you. I'd have been listening to you. Because you've got to find it somewhere, you know?
Yeah.
And the other thing that I did was look in the church, you know, because when I was starting my fatherhood journey, I was a youth pastor at a church. And so I was working with kids all the time, and I was watching parents interact with their children and trying to decide, you know, what works, what doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
How do we discipline? How do we get the message across? How do we create an environment where our kids will love God? And because, you know, so many kids raised in Christian homes, or especially raised in a pastor's home, which is what, you know, I was a youth pastor and then I was a pastor. So many of them get a really negative feel for Christianity and for God.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just did everything I could to see what was working for other people and then try to follow those paths.
Yeah. You know, that there's so much power in the example that the other people have within the church. I remember early on in my journey, there wasn't a lot of young dads I felt at the time. So like when I was in the men's group, I was like, I didn't feel like I could really talk about that. I was just struggling. Like, I just don't know what I'm doing. And I really feel like I'm failing my family. And, the only thing I did know was there was one dad who was such a great example. Like, he did a message of how he was just hanging out with his kids doing this. And I'd always just see him serving at the church. He always had this smile. And I remember, I was like, I just want to hang out with that guy. And so I like joined his little small group in the men's group just so I can be kind of in around him and just see what he's doing. And then we had a Pioneers Club thing on Sunday night. So it was for the kids. And we, you know, at that time, he was teaching my son. And I was doing a worship at the church on Sunday nights, but I was like, I'm going to go join Pioneer Club so I can see how he's pouring into my kids. And
and
so I joined that with him and got to know him a little bit more. And my wife got to know his wife, 'cause she was a homeschooling mom and kind of helped my wife in certain things. And he was such a powerful example, both him and his wife. And it really just made a difference and kind of started my journey of like, okay, this is kind of what it looks like. This is what I can do.
Absolutely. The father in my life that was like that, his name was Paul Hadley. And his kids were in my youth group and they were great kids. And I just watched what he did. And then at one point I organized a parent event and asked Paul to come in, and like for several weeks, he just talked about what he did as a father and how they'd raise their children and try to help other parents, you know. And my kids were young, little at the time. And I just soaked it up and tried to emulate, you know. And really, the book wasn't written with Paul in mind. But what has happened is Paul died recently and I got to go to his funeral. And as I started thinking about the five big stones, because the title of the book is Being the Dad You Wish You Had, Five Big Stones of Effective Fatherhood. Well, Paul really was all five of those big stones. And I'm just like, oh, wow. Like, oh, 20 years ago, 25 years ago, I was learning from this man. And I absorbed it enough that when I started to write this book, he came out. You know what I'm saying? I didn't even realize it, you know? And so that this just super cool how influential and helpful other men in the church can be.
Yeah.
If you just watch their life and learn from them.
Yeah. Oh yeah. 100%. Yeah. I like to ask that question. Just because I think the more we share that we struggle, the more it's okay for men to struggle and know that it's okay not to be okay, right?
Absolutely. And I'll tell you, one of the things that I find is that if we can share that with our kids,
mm-hmm.
so powerful, you know, to be able just to say, wow, I didn't handle that well. I'm sorry. I wish I had done that differently. Because that teaches them the same principle we're trying to learn, is that I don't do everything right. It's okay to not do everything right. I just have to own my stuff and then try to grow.
Yeah.
And so then it's just modeling that for your children, you know, and, mm-hmm. and it helps them see you as an authentic Christ follower instead of somebody who's playing a game and trying to put on pictures. You know, it's just like, I really messed that up. I got really angry. Wish I hadn't talked to you that way. Wish I hadn't reacted that way. That was wrong. Will you forgive me? I just think that's so powerful.
Yeah. It, you know, models repentance, you know, which we all need. And then I think they need to know, like, hey, okay, my dad's not perfect. I don't have to be perfect, you know.
Right.
My parents make mistakes. I can make mistakes too. And
absolutely.
Yeah, such a powerful lesson. One last thing. When I was listening to the book, because I got Speechify app, and it kind of reads it to you.
Very nice.
Because I drive a lot for work, so I was listening to it. And you were talking about Our Town, the play.
Yes.
And it was funny because I never heard of that play.
Okay.
But what I did hear of is I used to watch Wonder Years as a kid.
Okay.
And I don't know if you've ever seen that show.
No.
Well, when I was young, I used to watch it. And the girl, she was saying these lines of that you were quoting in the thing, like, oh, goodbye, world. You're so precious. You're so beautiful. And I was like, hey, I know that. It's like, why does that sound familiar? And it like rang a bell. And then I was like, oh, that's from Wonder Years. But obviously it's a play that's been around for a long time. And so that week, me and my wife woke up early and I put on the movie and we watched it. And it was actually really good. We really enjoyed it. So it's kind of just that fun little perk of reading your book and then being like, I'm going to watch this movie now and see what it's about.
That's
and you know, it's about being present and being in the moment and really knowing the power of each day.
Right.
And but there was this quote at the end that I really did like too. And the he's kind of like the narrator, right? The guy.
Right.
And he goes, you've got to love life to have life. And you've got to have life to love life. I deleted the last part on accident, so maybe it's not 100% correct, but it was something
it's
like
close.
That. Yeah. But I was like, oh man, that was a good movie. We really enjoyed it. So just another perk from reading your book, I guess.
Awesome. I'm glad.
Yeah. But so if someone wants, how could they get your book? Do you have extra? I know you said you have extra resources, like a study guide.
Yes. There's two things they can do. The book is available on Amazon. And so it's available as a digital version, and mm-hmm. it's available in paperback. It will be coming soon as an audiobook. I hope.
Oh, nice.
Get that. All those, hopefully, though, in the next couple of months, it will be out as an audio. So it's available on Amazon. Just search Being the Dad You Wish You Had. And then there's also a website, beingdad.com, being-dad.com.
Okay.
And on there, you can download a workbook that goes with the book. And really, it's more for people who have got the digital copy. Because mm-hmm. it really is just the questions that are at the back of each chapter.
Oh, okay.
So if you don't want to write in your book, or if it's not easy to write in the book, or if you've got the digital version and you wish you could write down, because the book is really made to reflect and do some self-reflection and to grow. It's not just, you know, here's five principles, but it's how can you bring this into your life so that mm-hmm. you're living out as the father you want to be? And you know, those questions just help you reflect on, who do I want to be as dad? And as you think about that and work through the book, then, you know, you're able to manifest more of that in your own life. And so that download is available on the website and it's free. You just click it and it's there.
Okay. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being on the show and for your time and for getting to talk to you and meet you. It's really been awesome, and I've really got a lot from it, and I just appreciate you. Thank you.
Oh, Gabriel, I enjoyed being with you, and I appreciate so much what you're doing. I'm excited for the journey, and, you know, like I said, if there had been podcasts, and if your podcast had been available when I started my journey, I would have been happy to have found you, because I would have listened and learned and just to be able to grow together. So I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. God bless you. And I'd love to just stay connected and keep in touch.
That'd be fantastic.
All right. Well, have a good night, because I know it's past your bedtime now.
That's right. That's right. Thank you. It's good to talk to you.
You too. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.